I am so excited about what's happening in Highland, and today is such an example of it. This morning, got up and was meeting with the group that decided to come together for the 52 thing, training and fortifying our faith, and then, going from three different places and sharing with people the vision of Highland Christian Church, where we're meeting in different places. Today, after church, we're having more baptisms, more people saying yes in the hearts of Jesus, and want to display that on the outside with the symbol that Jesus has given us. And I get excited about the people who were baptized last month. Some of the others important mentioned who didn't come up here. Whole Jerome family was baptized, just saying we want to say out loud, this is who we follow. Shalene's kids, Alexa and Gavin, were baptized along with Tara, Rachel and Thomas's niece, cousin. So anyway, just very excited for these people. Life-changing decisions, life-changing moments that are going on all around us tonight. Our gel leaders are getting together. There's open house here for the Elevate program through the City Center. So there's lots going on, lots of activity. And one of the things I get most excited about is when people find their spot in the church, they find their sweet spot. This is something I never find in golf. I stink at golf, and so I never hit the ball in the sweet spot. I'm the guy who always tops it, and it rolls 10 yards. And I'm like, grr. And so I have all these grumbly words when I play golf. But it's different for us in the church in finding that sweet spot. I believe that for every one of us, there's a place where the world's greatest need is out there, and then there is a line that also is where your desire lies. And there's a point where those two things intersect. And where they intersect and meet, your greatest desire and the world's greatest need, there's something beautiful that happens when you're a Christ follower. The gospel explodes there. And the gospel changes things. It changes life as we know it, the love, loyalty, and friendship of Jesus Christ. And so I get excited when I see people who are excited about biking or running or photography or woodworking. And they say, you know what? I love this. I'm going to go do it with people who don't know Jesus. I'm going to go hang out with them and do this. And in that process, there's something that happens. And so I get excited about that. I get excited about people who within the church find their spot, who find the places to serve, find their places to give, find their places to teach. And so I get excited about that. So today, in talking about the vision and mission of this church, you know, my speech gets rapid, I get animated, I talk louder. And so when I do that, I don't want you to freak out. I don't want you also to like, you know, man, he's really twisted my arm or something. You know, it's just that I'm going to be persuasive when I talk about this, all right? So you just got to know that. It's a given. And then also, when I talk about this, there is a certain group of people that I do want to acknowledge. And I just want to say, look, I see you and I hear you and I know you. One, I know that because of our economy, because of what's happened in our country, what's happened in this city, I know that there's a certain group of you that you may be working two jobs. You might be working three. You might be working night shift. And so you have gone into survival mode. And when you do that, it's work. You come home and do the things of eating, taking care of the house, and you sleep, and you get back up, and you do it all over again. And I just want you to know that I see and I understand that when you come on Sunday morning, that it's like, that's all I got. It's all I got, and it's all I can manage. And I just say, I understand. And what I hope and I pray that this leadership, we can make this Sunday morning enough for you. I pray and hope that we can offer enough where you can find where your heart can really grow in your love and your worship of Jesus Christ. I pray and hope that you can really find that within this time, you can connect and grow in your identity and loyalty with the body of Christ. I know it isn't the face-to-face that you'll find in a gel group, it isn't quite the same, but I hope that there's some part or element of it you'll be able to touch. And I hope that when you come on a Sunday morning, that you're able to also experience the refocusing of getting your mind back on mission and being able to think of your workplace and your home where you have to spend so much time Monday through Saturday that you're able to be re-energized, refocused, to be back on mission. And today, for all of us, that's what we're doing. Today is about restating that mission and that vision. It's for all of us to get on the same track. And again, in that, I know that with Highland, there's many people that are coming to join us, and there's some of us who've been here for a while. And so for everyone who's joining us, it's just important for us, one who already have heard it, to refocus, to begin become laser point, not broad spectrum. And with that laser focus, also to ask others to join us. You know, you may look at a Sunday morning and go, man, they got it all. They got some singers, they got musicians, they got people serving and helping, they got this, they got that. Say, you know what? We can use more help in all those areas. We need more help in creative arts. We need it everywhere. So there's more. And so as you come and join, the more, we just want everyone who's in the same boat, we want to be all rowing in the same direction. You ever been in a boat where people are rowing different directions? The boat goes like this. We don't want to do that. We want to keep our eyes on the goal, keep us focused, and going in that direction. And so today, as I talk about this, I want you to know that there is a time and a place for signing up. There is a time and a place for joining a program, and there are programs at this church. But I want you to know that what I'm asking you today, what I'm describing, is not a program. It's not something that you can sign up for. What I'm inviting and describing and saying, come be a part, would you join me in this mission and vision? It is a way of life. And so I want to invite you to a way of life, all right? And so I want to try to describe this as quickly and best as I can. So today in this, as I describe, I just also want to say that I believe that we can celebrate right now what God is going on. I know many times as a leader, I look so far ahead that I'm always looking ahead, thinking about the future, that I forget the present. And I just want you to know that when I look around at the present, what's here, it's beautiful. It's wonderful. What we got going on here is great. And there's people on the outside that want in. They want a part of it too. And it's beautiful. And I just want to say that even though that, you know, we're here, God lavishly loves us, and we're enjoying His lavish love, at the same time, He's calling us forward and maturing us, and He's purifying us. But I just want us to acknowledge that we don't have to have it all together to join Him in His mission. Do you know that? You don't have to have it all together. Did you know that the leadership of this church, myself and others, we don't have it all together? Did you know that you don't have to have it all together to join me in His mission? And that admission, that's not an excuse for any of my shortcomings. It's just a matter of fact. It's just stating the truth. And you might find that you don't have it all together too. And I just want you to know that there's still hope for all of us. That really we can rejoice that it doesn't take a perfect church to present the perfect Christ. We can praise Him for that. We can be glad. God, even though He accepts us right where we are, He is still calling us out. He is still completing and working on us. The scriptures say that we are complete in Christ. But it also says the Lord is still building His church. He's still building His kingdom. He is building us. So at the same time, while we are complete in Christ, we can be content. We can say, yes, Lord, thank You. You satisfy me. You're the only thing that satisfies me. At the same time, we can go, I'm not finished yet. I'm not perfected yet. So I'd like us today, with acknowledging all those things, to put our eyes on the goal, knowing that we haven't attained the goal yet. We have not changed life completely. As we know it, there are still places and areas that need to be changed. And there are still places in our hearts that need to be changed and more aligned with Christ and His Word. But let's put our eyes on the goal and acknowledge, even though we're not complete, we're not perfected, that we're still moving towards the goal. Saying, I'm not there yet. And so what I'm saying is that we can't give up. We can't give up on what God is calling us towards. And at the same time, as we look forward, can we be thankful and glad for what God is doing right now among us? Can you join me today in that tension of where we're at, who we are, and where we could be, and what we could be? Can you join me in that tension and be all right with it? It pulls on us. It pulls on us, I know. But we can have a contentment in Christ that at the same time, still keep our eyes on the goal. We go where we look. You know, when you're driving in your car, you're looking out the window and you go, whoa. Same thing with us spiritually in our lives and where we're going. We go where we look.
Alright?
So in the midst of this, we have this challenge of this mission to grow in love, loyalty, and friendship with Jesus Christ. And underlying that mission is the greatest thing of all that holds us together. It is God's love. It will keep us together, and it also compels us to fulfill this mission, this vision. So in laying out the vision and mission of this church, and our challenge to fulfill it, I want to give you the practical foundation for how it will be accomplished. The how is love. And it's a definition of love modeled by our Savior and described in Philippians chapter 2. And it says this, in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. And it goes on to describe how Jesus emptied himself and died on the cross. In other parts of the scripture, it says that God demonstrated his love for us while we're still sinners in this. Christ died for us. So this is our definition of practical love, that we... our eyes get fixed looking around on others. It's how this is going to happen. So, I know, and I want to remind you of the beauty of what we have. I want to remind you of this gospel, the treasure that we have in Jesus Christ, because it is what compels us, and it's where our love springs from. So let me remind you of the gospel story. Jesus Christ is our treasure. The gospel tells us the story of that treasure being found in him. And it's three easy prepositions if you want to remember the gospel story. Three easy prepositions, and if you forgot your English grammar, here's the three. It's of, in, and with. Those are the three prepositions I'm going to talk about. And it's the life of Jesus, it's life in Jesus, and it's life with Jesus. Life of Jesus is the incarnation. We value the sacrificial love that he poured out when he emptied himself. He became a human servant, coming bodily near us, bringing the kingdom near us. That is the incarnation. It is the life of Jesus. It's a treasure. And then the life in Jesus is the crucifixion. And where we see he is our sacrificial substitute, and we value that. That is a beautiful treasure. How forgiveness is only given through the shedding of innocent blood. And there was only one who had innocent blood to shed, and it was Jesus Christ. He was the only qualified substitute for us. He died the death that we should have died. So there is life in Jesus. Crucifixion. And then there is the resurrection, life with Jesus. And we value his sacrificial fellowship. That we are raised up with him in the heavenlies. In Ephesians it says that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were enjoying this beautiful fellowship, perfect fellowship, and then they said, hey, why keep it to ourselves? Let's open this up. And so Jesus came to die, and then they sent, and the Spirit was sent to take up permanent residence in us, to dwell within us, that we are never alone again, that we are empowered from within. That is the incarnate, the resurrection. It is the sacrificial fellowship that we value, has been demonstrated by our God and Father. So this is the treasure of the gospel. This is what's been given to us, what's been handed to us, and we value it, and it changes everything for us. Life changes as we know it. It's different. Don't forget what your past life was like before Christ. Those of you who grew up in church and grew up in a church family, remember when the first issue, when the first crisis came in your life and Jesus came and rescued you. Remember that he is still your Savior. The gospel still applies for all of us. We value it. And at the same time as we rejoice in the treasure that we found in Jesus, we are told that we are to go and share it. We've been commissioned to do that. Listen to Jesus Christ's words in John 20, 21. As the Father sent me, so am I sending you. He's talking to us. You see, the Father sends the Son, and then the Father and the Son send the Spirit. And the Spirit, the Son, send us to go. Go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've taught you, and I'll be with you to the very end of the age. You know, in the gospel, we find our foundation for everything we do at Highland and why this church is formed and structured the way it is. And let me tell you, here it is. From the gospel, we understand this. Jesus is first. He's the treasure. The mission is second, what he tells us to do, where he tells us to go and to be. And then third is the church, the form of how we gather and carry out that mission. So first and foremost is Jesus, the treasure. It changes everything. And you can't do mission or church without that treasure, Jesus. You can't give away something that you don't have. Second, we join him in his mission. Do what he does. Go where he goes. Third, in doing what he does and where he goes and how he goes, it dictates how the church will form and help that mission. You see, the church doesn't have a mission. The truth is that the mission has a church. I'll say it again. The church doesn't have a mission. The truth is that the mission has a church. So we have this treasure, Jesus, and he sends us on a mission to share it. And the mission has a church to support and carry out the mission.
Sorry.
Just grabbing water everywhere. They don't, but here's the problem. We've been commissioned to do this. We got this beautiful treasure, but here's the big problem. Here in our country, here in this city of Asheville, there are people who don't value that treasure. They don't value Jesus Christ. They don't see him as valuable. They give significance, time, energy, and money to other things than Jesus Christ. We are told to go make Christ followers, make disciples of Jesus, but more than half our city doesn't have a reason to follow him because they don't see him as a treasure. Now, that going and making disciples, I know I just kind of blew your mind for some of you because you've maybe had this perspective that I hope that you see differently. A lot of times we think making disciples, oh, that's people who have already said yes to Jesus. We'll train them. You see, that's when we accept, when we think, and again, we get it mixed up in the Great Commission. Jesus said, therefore go and make disciples. And then the next order is baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So you see, We can go to those who don't yet know him. We can tell them about him. You see, people aren't going to say, yes, I'm going to commit my whole life to following a stranger. They have to be told about him. They have to know who this Jesus is before they say, yes, I will follow him all my days. A lot of you who grew up in the church, you had that privilege of growing up. It wasn't long before you believe. You were there at a church gathering, but you weren't belonging to the church yet until you said yes to Jesus, right? You had all those Sundays, all those times to hear about Jesus, hear all those stories. That's what we got to be able to do for the rest of the world. You don't value and treasure him. You learn to treasure him, and then you said yes to him. We need to be able to do the same. So let's make disciples. So how do you make disciples or mentor people who don't value what you value? You got to do that first. Philippians 2. You got to look to what their interests are. When you look to their interests, you'll find out what they value. You have to start where they're at. You have to figure out what they value. You have to meet them there. Isn't that the way Jesus was sent? I mean, think about him and the woman in the well. You see, he went to this well. That's where people go. I mean, people value water. They get thirsty. Jesus also valued it. He liked water. He was thirsty. He went to the well, met the woman who came there, got in a conversation about water, physical water, which then he turned the conversation to talk about spiritual water. And then, again, revealed who he was, that he was the living water, that he was the Messiah. That's how Jesus went. That's what we have to figure out how to do in our city, to reach people, to fulfill our mission as a church. We have to start where they're at. And so as missionaries, we got to think like missionaries. We got to analyze our city around us and figure out what they value and go there. This was the thought behind the city center. What we used to call the community center. Why did we change the name? Because we don't have a basketball court. That's about as simple as it gets. We're tired of people asking if they come play basketball. So, we don't have a basketball or a gym, but it is the city center where we offer things that are valued by people in our city. So, here's the deal. Our mission has dictated to us our form. A gathering called, one part of that form is a gathering called Highland Christian Church. For those who are learning to value Jesus the treasure, who have already said, I do value him, I want to learn to value him more. Christ the church, or church to church, he builds us. Mentoring to change life as we know it through the love, loyalty, and friendship of Jesus Christ. And the mission has also dictated the other part, the other form of our church, the Highland City Center. For those who don't yet value Jesus the treasure, but instead value some other thing. Church to city is the city center. The church is Christ to church. We got to do both. You can't leave one without the other. So, church to city, we're mentoring to transform communities. But we're finding what people value and mentoring through those things that they value. And so we have Christ followers expressing their faith through music, art, dance, video, business, craftsmanship, technology, things that our city values. So, Highland Christian Church, Highland City Center. It's two branches on one tree. It's one coin with two sides, heads or tails. It's a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. You can eat peanut butter and jelly separate, but why would you? They're so good together. It's like husband and wife. They're very distinct from each other, aren't they? They have different roles that they carry out in marriage, but yet they are one. And they're one in heart and purpose to glorify God. Highland Christian Church, Highland City Center. So look at the card that was on your seat, or the card that was just recently passed, or is going to be passed. If you don't have a card, you can raise your hand, you can get one, or you can look off your neighbors. But there's one side of it that says church to church. On that, if you want to, if you got a pen, you can write Christ to church. Because really, I think sometimes when we look at church, we think of we're ministering to one another. But really, who is it that is ministering through us to each other? It's Jesus Christ. And it is his church anyway, isn't it? He's the head. Yeah. And he's building it. So, Christ to church or church to church. Highland Christian Church is one church with two locations. When you say, I'll see you on Sunday, you have to ask, wait, can you clarify that? Will I see you at Great Eagle or will I see you at the Villa? We are a church with two locations. They're simply names of buildings where Highland Christian Church gathers, where the called out ones gather. They gather in that building and they gather in this building. One church, two locations, downtown and the River Arts District, going to the places where other people in our city congregate, where the action of our city is happening. Can we be glad for that? Yes! Because our mission is dictating the form as a church. You see, we said that we are going to grow by planting churches. We're going to grow, and in that growth, having a different place requires more leaders, requires more people to help out. And so that stretches us. I know sometimes we don't like to be stretched, but when it stretches us like that, other people get to step in where they didn't get to step in. Other people get to help where they didn't get to help before. And what happens is people get mentored, people get discipled, and we're fulfilling our mission simply because of our form. What happens when we do that? What happens in the church when we come together and we're valuing Christ, our treasure, when we're saying we're going to become these things, we have our eye on the goal, we're not there yet, but we're going to get there. What happens when we do that? You're going to find more young people and more old people who will deconvert from churchianity to Christianity. You're going to find more people, young and old, who are going to tire of being church members, instead desire to be Christ followers. You're going to find people who will not just see serving as something that's done within, but they're going to look around and look up and see the people without, those on the outside, and they're going to serve them and say, welcome.
We want outsiders to become insiders. They're going to start thinking like missionaries.
You know, when you look at that card, Church to Church, Christ to Church, these are things that are being offered by your church right now. And these are the things that people would say, well, hey, you know, this is a way that you can get involved or plugged in. Or maybe it's the way. I would say, hey, if you participate in one of these things, it might help you to grow in your love and intimacy with the Father. It might help you grow in your identity with the family of God. It might help you grow in your responsibility of this mission that is given us. So, when you look at this card, I just say, have you had a chance to participate? That means job groups, men's groups, women's groups, young adults. Yes, there is a young adults group. They've been keeping it a secret, but I just let the secret out. Highland students, Highland kids, Highland mom mentoring, 15th anniversary, Highland mentor training, which, by the way, October 12th and 19th, 4 to 6 p.m. We offer another chance if you want to get in on mentoring. Ministry apprenticeship, Highland Financial Peace University. All these things are being offered. It's for you. It's to strengthen you. It's Christ Church. It's again so that you can fill up, so that you have something to give. It's to strengthen the body. How many of you here are leading the job group? Can I just have you stand up? If you're leading the job group right now, or you're co-leading. How many of you attend the job group? Would you stand up? How many of you are leading a men's group or a women's group or a part of a men's group or a women's group? All right. And these are the people, if you want to get connected, ask these people some questions. They can help you find, these are our connectors. They'll help you find us a place. Ask them. Ask them questions about what's going on. Thank you. You can have a seat now. I know sometimes, here, take a look at the other side of the card. The other side of the card where it says church to city. And this is the other part of our mission. And what I want to say about the city center, you got to think of an organization like a university, okay? When you say that you go to UNCA, I can say, well, what program at UNCA? You say, oh, well, I'm part of the engineering program or the business college or the health program. And even within those, you have to define, you go, well, what are you doing in business? Well, I'm doing business management. Or what are you doing in health? Well, I'm studying nursing. Or what are you doing in engineering, aerospace engineering? So in the same way, the city center has departments also. There's the tutoring, or the tutorials they call it, or the classics, classic skill mentorings. There's apprenticeships. There's also child care. There's even financial peace for teenagers that's being offered. Within each of these departments, there are specific interests to pursue or needs that are being met. And I just want to ask, with these things that are listed on this side of the card, do you know someone who values these things? They may not value Jesus Christ as the treasure, but would they value one of these things? Would they think that photography is really cool, or woodworking, or computer skills? Do you know someone who has a need to get out of debt, or they need childcare after school? Why not direct your friend, your neighbor, or your coworker to one of these offerings from the city center, where there are teachers and mentors waiting to pour themselves out, teachers and mentors who believe in the one God, in one faith, in one baptism, in one Lord, and God and Father of all, and they're just wanting to pour themselves out in hopes that somehow, as they're talking about what they love to do, that somehow Christ will shine in them, and that somehow Christ will be revealed in the conversations and the stories. You know, the city center is about one faith in Jesus Christ being expressed in many ways for His glory. Mentoring to transform communities through skills, motivated by the love, loyalty, and friendship of Jesus Christ. You know, when there's new people that come to Highland, or there's someone new who comes to town, I tell them the same thing that I told our staff when they first came and moved to Asheville and joined the team. They go, well, where do I start? And I'd say, find the thing that you love to do, and go do it with somebody who doesn't know Jesus. You can go ahead, you can take another believer along with you. I mean, Jesus sent people out two by two. But go find the thing that you love to do and go do it with somebody who doesn't know. And that's kind of what we're doing through the city center. It's just in an organized way. You can do it on your own. That could be your own strategy. I mean, you look in the Mountain Express and you can look back in there and there's listings for front porch guitar picking, hiking clubs, running clubs, I mean, and all kinds of things. You know, when you look at these two things, both sides of the coin, Highland Christian Church, Highland City Center, there's a lot offered there. You can't do it all. You're going to have to choose. You're going to have to say no to some things. But I hope that you'll say yes to some of those things. And I know that for some of you might be hearing for the first time, you're going, where do I start? What do I do? And it seems like I should do something. And I want to encourage you, there is something to do. There will be something to do. But I first would just like you maybe start instead with the question of, instead of what should I do, what should I be? What should I become? Because I think that points back to the whole thing of where is your greatest desire and where does it intersect with the greatest need of the world? And the greatest need of the world is Jesus Christ. They need him. And there's a point where they value something that you got, that you enjoy, that you like to do. And all this, in asking, you know, what should I become? There's this idea of just, you know, we're growing and believing. We're growing and belonging. We're growing and becoming. The gospel just isn't for everybody out there. We still need it. He's still changing us through his love, loyalty, and friendship. And I just want you to know that, you know, if you're here today, you're just investigating the faith, this really is a place where you can belong before you believe. God loves you right where you are. He really does. That is true. But the truth also tells us that God will never let us stay there. He is always calling us to maturity. So Highland is a place where you can belong before you believe, but it's also a place where believers can grow. And we've got people here who can prove the truth of both sides of that statement. There are people here who came here not believing in the gospel message. They hung around because they felt at peace here. They felt like they could belong. And then they found that faith was working in their heart. There's some people who got that testimony, and they can share it with you today. We got others who came here who were already believers, and they were hungry, and they just wanted a place to grow, and they found that place, and they've been growing and maturing in Christ. And I want you to know that there's a place for you, too. There's room for you here, and I want you to find your place. So whether you're a growing Christ follower or you're still investigating the Christian faith, there's a place. Each of us, even myself, have areas where we need to grow and mature. And what I hope you understand is that the Lord doesn't say to you, and he doesn't say to me, hey, Shannon, hurry up and mature so you can get busy with my mission. Hurry up and deal with that issue in your life, or hurry up and fix that sin problem that you're struggling with, Shannon, so that you can join me in the mission because you're delaying everything. Jesus doesn't say that to us. You know what he says? He puts his arm around me. He puts his arm around you. He says, hey, let's do this together. I want you to join me in this mission, and don't worry about the stuff that's going on here in your heart. I know how to take care of that. I know how to sanctify. I know how to purify. I know how to cleanse you. Don't worry. I got that. Let's look outward. Let's join me in this mission. So, I know that there could be a focus on our own issues, wanting priority to fix them first before we help others. I know that's our tendency. But again, when you think about that verse, Philippians 2, it tells us to not just look at our own interests. And I just wonder, what if the Lord's plan to mature you is by helping others? That while you're helping someone else, somehow that issue or that problem or that sin struggle, it gets resolved while you're helping others. Look, I'm not talking about ignoring a major crisis in your life. I'm not talking about the really big stuff that really impedes healing in your life and impedes you from really participating in a life, a holy life. But I do believe, in most other instances, the Lord calls us to his mission, and he matures us as we join him. Now, the band's going to come on up here right now. We're going to continue our worship. But I got a big question for you. And the question is, so would you join me in this mission? Will you join me in going after this? Would you join me in reaching up to Christ? Reaching up and saying, God, I want to grow in my love and my worship with you. I want to discover you more and more. Will you say, yes, I want to grow in that. I want to become that. I want to be that. I want to do that. Would you join me in reaching in church to church as we grow in our identity as a family, brothers and sisters in Christ, figuring out how to do life together? Look, I know it's scary, you know, thinking I show up at some jail group at someone's house. They've already been meeting, and I'm a new person showing up on their doorstep. I know that can be intimidating, but maybe there's an in-between step. You know, maybe they're serving here on a Sunday morning at you know, before the 9 a.m. or at 10:30 or after this gathering. We serve and get to see some of those faces that do show up at those jail groups, that do show up at those men's groups and women's groups. Where again, can you just try saying, I'm going to try to reach in this whole church-to-church thing? And then would you join me in reaching out church to city by using the City Center and other strategies to transform our community, asking, how can I bless those around me? And again, I want to remind you that what I'm inviting you to is it's a way of life. It's not a program. The way we're going to accomplish this is by walking out that practical love in Philippians 2. In humility, consider others better than ourselves. And look not only to our own interests, but look to the interest of others. Look, I'm not inviting you to a church program. I'm inviting you to a way of life. Let's see if we can adopt this way of life. Let's see if we can move towards it together. Would you join me in prayer right now? Heavenly Father, we need your help. We need your help as we pursue what you are pursuing, what you are going after. Lord Jesus, we know that your Holy Spirit is going out and convicting the world of sin. We know, Jesus, that you are revealing yourself and your grace to people in this city. There are people who are ready and open. They want to know more about you, but they're never going to come to a church. And so, Father, you have your people. You have these people scattered throughout this city in different places, different times, in work, in neighborhoods, in schools. And Lord, I pray that you bring them into contact with those who are seeking after you, who are starting to get thirsty because of some salt, who are starting to hunger with their eyes for light because they saw a glimpse of it in one of these people here. Father, I pray that you would unify us, that somehow we would be working in harmony. It would be this great synchronization done by your Holy Spirit that we will be working together, and that through your love, loyalty, and friendship, we would see life changed as we know it. God, change us. Change the world around us by your power, by the power of the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me in this worship?